If I asked you this morning, if I said, is God in control, what would you tell me?
Amen. In control.
How many amens would I get?
All of them.
Everybody give an amen?
Amen.
Well, praise God, this message is for you. Brother Joe.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got to pick on you again, man. Come down here a second. You just went out and built a zoo. Isn't that awesome? And in your zoo, you got some animals. Okay, so pick out an animal here in the church, will you?
How about Kathy?
Kathy? Which Kathy? You're, okay. Come here, Kathy. You got to come up here. Here, Kathy, you're a sheep or a lion. You're a lion. Okay, turn around here.
I'm a lion.
He just built the zoo and he put you in the zoo. Okay, you need another animal, brother. Better pick one out.
How about Joe Fortune back there?
All right. Let's see. Well, I need something masculine here. Here, I'll give you this. You'll be a liner, okay? Okay. You already got a beard, don't you? That's awesome. Okay. I need another animal, brother.
Oh, how about Steve?
Steve? I got the perfect one for Steve.
Oh, no.
Hey, Steve.
I'm putting you. Keep running.
Okay. Joe built a zoo. In the zoo, you got water, you got feed, you got cages, and you went out and you bought animals. You brought them to your zoo. So I need somebody to run this zoo. So he hires me. So there, Starkey, you're in charge of my zoo. You take control of these little fellas. Okay. So Joe, have a seat for a minute.
Okay.
Now Joe gives me all the instructions. Tells me how to feed the rabbit and the lion and the lioness. Okay. What time to feed him. How to take care of him. Everything. So, as time goes by, a week or so, this zoo that Brother Joe made, the animals get kind of edgy. Growl at each other. And you look at that. Okay? And Jason comes along. He says, Starkey, do something. I said, no. They get worse. They get worse. Man, they're attacking one another. Look at that. They come to me. He says again, Starkey, do something. I said, man, I'm not in control of this. Joe is. Eventually, you guys wear yourself down, you tear each other up, and you're dead. Then I say, what kind of zookeeper is Joe? What kind of zookeeper is he? Make this zoo, put all the stuff we need into it, and now they're dead. Man, I tell you what. Oh, it's just terrible. I should never even work for him. Give me a bad reputation. You see what's going on? Is Joe in control of the zoo? No. Who did he give control to? He gave it to me. He put him in my care. It's my job. He gave me the instruction book. It's my job to feed them, clothe them, take them out, change their diet, whatever you got to do. He gave it to me, but I was blaming him for it. Joe is not in control. He's in charge. And God is the same way. He was in charge. He made the heavens. He was in charge of making the earth. He was in charge of making us. But then He gave us control. And folks, we gotta quit sitting down saying, oh, God's in control. Boy, hell's breaking loose. But God's in control. He's not in control, guys. We are in control. And it's time for the church to stand up and take that control back. We gotta quit sitting down waiting for God to do something. God will only do something through us. Us, the church, the people, we are in control. God's in charge. He made the place. But He gave it to us. And Genesis, He gave us dominion. Get it through your minds, guys. Please, get it through here. Don't let Satan block you out. You're in charge. You're in control. If you don't do it, it's not going to get done. We can't sit back anymore. You can say, well, God's in control. Oh, Jason, I know it's terrible. Oh, look at Israel and look at Palestine and stuff. Oh, God's in control, man. He's not in control. He gave us control. He gave it to us. He gave us the name of Jesus Christ. He gave us the blood of Jesus Christ. And He gave us control of this planet. So take dominion of it. And if it's not getting done, it's not God's fault. It's the church's fault. We sat on our hands too long. We kept thinking that, well, God, we've been taught that way. We hear it all the time. And we don't mean any bad by it. But we say, oh, God's in control. He's not. Can God do anything?
Yeah.
He could. But what did he? Who did he give control to?
Man.
To give it to mankind, didn't he?
Amen.
We lost it. Christ came and bought it back to us. We are now in control again. We have the control. These animals die. It ain't Joe's fault. He created me. He put me in charge of them. Who's to blame? Me. I'm in control. Same way with us here today, guys. We have to realize that we are in control. And if you're in control of something, if you don't do anything, it's not going to get done. If you get something done, you have to do it. Same way here. Now, I'm telling you what, it'd be quite a job taking care of a zoo. You know, I couldn't imagine everything, you know. You know, you don't have any pythons up here or nothing like that. Joe would not put me in control of the zoo if he didn't think I could do it. He gave me my instruction book, okay? I asked for the job. Amen? I did. He interviewed me. I want it. There's not one of us here today who is a born-again Christian that was forced to be a Christian, guys. We ask for forgiveness for our sins. We ask to be a part of the number. And we are in control of the thing. I'm telling you what, God, there's mighty things that God is going to do through you guys. He is bringing you guys up farther and farther and farther. I'm telling you what, you're going to see so many miracles take place here that your eyeball is going to bug out. It's because we have control and the church is taking the control back. And we can move mountains. There's nothing come against us that we can't do, that we can't overcome as we come together in one mind, one body. One mind, one body with the Holy Spirit. And we have to be united. We have to be united on this thing. We can't waver. We can't waver on it. We got to stand firm on the word and not compromise. Whatever you're compromising your life today is hurting me. And whatever I compromise will hurt you. And we got to lock arms on here. We got to lock arms and stay on the word of God. And that means more sacrifice in our lives. That means more fasting, more prayer, more giving up our personal time in order to get victory in your life and my life. And we're going to do that. Folks, we are fighting for our own lives. What I mean by that is Satan's coming against us, trying to take us out spiritually. He's trying to get us to turn back. Amen? He's coming at your family. As you draw closer to the Lord and you get more and more involved in the Lord, he'll come out. If he don't get you, he'll come after your family. Okay? We gotta draw that line. He ain't had my family. He ain't taking my wife. He ain't taking my children. He ain't taking my husband out of here. And we say, how bad do we want? We gotta dig that trench, we get buried in that word, and say, come hell high water, I ain't backing down. I'm standing on the word. I'm going to intercede. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. Whatever it takes. I don't need recreation time anymore. Like I said 2 weeks ago, I died. I got born again. And so do you guys. Don't let the things of the world entice you into backing up or giving up. Don't walk out and say, oh, it was a good sermon the preacher had today. Really fired up and walk right back into where you came from. Let the word of God. I bring to you what God has laid upon my heart to deliver to you. It's awesome. He's got plans for us. Plans for us. We can make a difference in our lives and lives around us if we allow God to work through us. Nothing. There's nothing irreversible. So all is too long gone. I hear all the time, stage 4 cancer. And we just, okay, let's give up. We don't give up. We keep praying. Amen?
Amen.
Keep praying. We keep interceding against that. Because we don't want to lose one more warrior. I want you along here with me as long as you can, dear Lord. I want you here fighting with me. God will decide when to take you home. Satan ain't going to decide that. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Same here. How many people you said earlier have been healed? I've been healed. You know, count me out, down on the bank, but boom, God brought me back up because of prayer. What's the worst thing that happened to me? I entered in the presence of the Lord. But we intercede, we pray and fast and do the will of God. We know His will be done. Sooner or later, I'll go home. Amen?
Amen.
Whether to the rapture or where my body lay down. But we'll go home when God decides that we did the purpose He made us for. Amen?
Amen.
Satan ain't going to decide when I go home.
Right.
He ain't going to decide that. God knows the plan and purpose He has me. He knows how many times I'm going to open my mouth up and bring out the gospel. He knows where He wants me at. When I've completed that, come on home, Starkey. Okay? Again, John the Baptist is another example. I use it all the time. 30 years old. Taken home. He didn't die by no cancer. He He didn't die by no diabetes or heart failure. He had his head chopped off. Oh, my ass, terrible. He had completed what God had called him to do. He said it himself, I must decrease, but Christ increase. Amen? We have the control here. Joe, you have to take care of your animals here, okay? Here, I'll take you back here.
Okay.
I'll feed you guys. And folks, I tell you, you have a seat in your animals. We'll feed you later. But I know it's our mindset. Just a little bit in the words, you got in charge and in control. In charge and in control. But it has quite a mindset in us. And I know what you guys mean when you say, well, God's in control. He created everything. Everyone's in His hands. He has complete control of everything. Amen?
Amen.
But remember, He gave us that control here on earth. He gave it to you and me. There ain't nothing. There ain't nothing to stop us. You know, before we have communion today, I want to share one with you here. I want to show you something. I want to show you the reason why we're going to be here Friday night. I'll show you the reason why God's calling us to prayer and fasting. I want to show you the difference a church can make. I'm going to go to Acts chapter 12 here for a moment. Then we have communion, and we might get the message, rest of the message of the David today. I'm not sure. But this is awesome. This is important. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. I think majority rules. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 says, now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. He grabbed a hold of the Christians. The king did. Grabbed a hold of some of the Christians. Yeah, I'm going to grab a hold of them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. The king came, took John captive, James captive, and had him put to death. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, when it pleased those who were not followers of Christ, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. But now, during the days of unleavened bread, and when he had seized Peter, he put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. Joe, let me borrow again. I'm sorry. Come here, buddy. This is what we got. I want you to get a visual on this. Turn around. Okay, turn around, brother. But he said now that he sees Peter. Now, Peter's not dead yet, okay? But Peter ain't going to go anywhere. The king took control of him. He said, come on, I got you. And he took him over here and put him in prison right now. He can't go anywhere. He's still breathing. Okay, he's still talking. But he's being captive right now. He is taken captive because he is going to die. But I'm not going to kill you for two more days yet. So he's in the cell. He's bound in the cell. Okay? Held captive. That's what Peter's doing right now. So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. He didn't say, wait, the church was on a picnic, and he sent Brother Joe a get-well card. No. What did they say the church was doing?
Praying.
The church was praying. See, the church, maybe whatever happened, I'm not sure, but some reason James is dead. Maybe when they took James captive, maybe they think, oh man, he's the man of God. That ain't going to hurt him. Maybe the church was kind of lax. Saying, well, he'll be all right. Or maybe they're saying, man, we can't do nothing. I'm not sure. Why did it ever say that when James was taken captive that the church came together and started fervently praying? I don't know why. But I know one thing that we can learn from our mistakes when we don't gather and triumph. And it might have cost the brother his life on earth, but James entered the presence of the Lord. But now here we find that now they got Peter. The enemy has come and took another one of us captive. And what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it?
Right.
We're going to let the enemy take out somebody else? No, not on my watch. Not on my watch. Everything I have to him and to you, I pledge my life to every one of you guys here. Every one of you. I don't care if it comes anything against you. Whatever Satan tries to come, I pledge my life to you to my last breath. I'll stand beside you. I'll pray with you. I'll lay hands on you. I'll fast for you. I'll do whatever it is for you. I will lay my life down for you. And that's what the church said here. Now we're going to pray, they said. Remember, this is a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
Amen. If it was a physical battle, they would have grabbed axes and stuff and attacked in prison. But did not God say to obey the authority over you? Amen? But he gave us authority over the dark side, over demons and powers and principalities. So the church got the weapon that God gave them. That was prayer. That was prayer, praying and praying and praying, seeking God's face, interceding for this man. They want him around for a while. And they are praying. And behold, an angel. Okay, and the very night, people praying. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forth, just about ready to chop off his head, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Sleeping! He wasn't going, oh my goodness, oh, it's going to happen. Hey, God, I'm in your hands. You know, my church is praying for me. What will be, God? Your will be done. Because as the church prays and intercedes, we allow God's will to be done. Then we trust that what is done is God's will. As we've done all that we have can possibly do, we know that we allow God to work upon this earth. Yes. And Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. Kevin, Daryl, come here. Come here. Just lay your Bible down, brother. I'm going to get you in your mind. Because he can represent anything right here. Come here. Grab hold of his arm. Grab hold of his arm. Now listen. These two guys here could be anything you want to make it be right now. This can be cancer hanging on to them right now. It can be disobedience. It can be drug addiction. It can be a failed marriage. It could be a relationship with God's been broken. Whatever it is, it's got him bound right now. And I think this ain't going to play with him. They ain't going to take him outside and play croquet tomorrow morning or go golfing with them or play tennis. Their one thing is to hold them there until he is dead tomorrow morning. Your enemy doesn't come to play with us. He comes to kill us. Right. And I tell you, any time that you even had a cold and you raised up from it, you won. You have victory. Because Satan don't bring sickness and disease in the world to play with us. No. He comes to kill us. He said, God, has he ever done anything in my life? He brought you back. Any sickness, any disease, whatever it was that Satan wanted to destroy you with. Yeah, some weapons are atomic bombs. Some are small. But you know, a .22 can do much damage in your body as a .410 or a 12 gauge or a .44. It just takes a little bit longer to bleed you out. The enemy comes for one reason, to kill, steal, and destroy. And I'll tell you, if you ever let him in your house, even at your dinner table, at your TV set, for one little reason, to play with him, he wants to kill you, he wants to destroy you. And God said, church, raise up and get it out. He wants to work through us, mightily. My God, these are your hands. My God, my feet are yours. My mouth is yours. He wants it, but we have to get it cleaned up. He wants it. Can you imagine? These guys, hang it on. This guy's going to be killed tomorrow morning. And the church comes together. Well, brother, they got Joe. But what about them milk prices? I'm telling you what, I'm just not going to... I won't be able to feed my family next week. Them cows and them farmers make too much money. He's in the milk, that's what I'm talking. He's in, okay? The church comes together. But we don't come together in prayer. We don't come together in the Word of God. If we don't come in fasting, bringing the war against the evil one here, he'll be defeated. We have to realize that. There's a time. There's a time of fellowship. Amen? We'll do it here in just a little bit. We'll have fellowship. We'll encourage one another. We'll have coffee. That's great. But when the alarm sounds that says, time for war, we lay down our cups and we pick up our sword. That is the Word of God. And we go to battle. And God has called a battle for this weekend, Friday night from 6 o'clock to Saturday night at 6 o'clock for the church to come together. Whether you're in the building or at your home, that's fine. Prayer and fast and pray against what is holding us back. What has got our friends captive? What's got our families captive? You know, pray against this. Cancer can be defeated. It's just a thing that this little thing called Satan uses to come into the family. We overcome that. And we come together and pray and fast and we pray against whatever the evil one's trying to do, break up families, against sickness and disease. We know we gave God the opportunity for His will to be done. And His will that none shall perish. But He tells us also, Paul says, listen, many of us have perished because of the lack of knowledge. And applying that, we have the victory. We just have to execute it. Hold them together. Hold them together right now. But he said the church, Woo! The saints coming together. They gave up. They gave up Friday night, whatever it was. Bingo. They're not bowling this particular night. Okay, they might have gave up a dinner. They might have had prime rib scheduled for that night, Opal. I had to postpone it for a day. They gave it up. They come together and they started praying and praying and praying and speaking against this evil that's in their life. They took the authority that Jesus Christ went to that cross and died for. He didn't go there for a picnic. He didn't go there to be the best known person ever in the world. He went there to redeem us from our sins. To restore us back in what God gave us to start with, kingdomship. Come back to give us the authority. Satan took the authority. He took the authority from us. Look at him now. Brother Joe is captive because of what someone had done 6,000 years ago. Our brother fell into sin. Memory Dean. Because of sin he walked into, he cost many, many lives. But Christ came to restore that. He came to restore that. Don't be mad at Adam. Every one of us has sin in our life that's caused something to take place. But I'm telling you what, as we repent, we turn to Him, He makes all things new. New as if we was in the garden of Adam and no one ever sinned. God don't want to see this. God's not up there saying, oh, okay, Joe, I'll teach you a lesson now. No, He's up there saying, my, oh. I see it this way. In my mind's eye, I can see Jesus up there saying, oh, my. God, can I go back down there? Can I go back down there? You can't. You're back in your spiritual body. You cannot go down there. You have to be a human to have control of this earth. So the Bible says, what does He do? He intercedes. Yeah. He intercedes for you. How does He do that? He doesn't pray to God, oh, God, release Darkie. No, what did He do? He laid upon Kenny's heart. Say, Kenny, pray. Pray for Joe to be released. I can't do it, but you can. Your words are powerful. Levita, Bob, Opal, pray, He says. Pray, let's see this guy set free. Jesus will come down here Himself and do it. But you know what? He ascended to heaven. He gave us the power and the authority to do it. In the church, we got to do it. We can't run it. We have to do it. That's what we're called to do. We're not called to sit around. I'm not saying you guys sit around, but I'm sick and tired of hearing people say, my gosh, to be a Christian, you don't have to go to church. You don't need to come to Bible study or whatever it is. They've been deceived. If you're a warrior, you come. You get instruction, you go to battle. What would you do the day they called up the Marine Corps? Called up the Marine Corps to send them on a mission. They said, well, I'm not going. I'm not going. Kathy, I don't need to go to war. I'm a Marine, and I don't have to go. You can't tell me to. Would you not laugh, Mallet, when you say, well, who are you trying to fool? You signed up for battle. You've been trained. You better go. But now, if you're telling me that you're wearing the uniform, but you never signed up. Now you say you've been playing games. You've been playing games. No, I'm not a Christian. I just like the atmosphere. I just like Carol White's chocolate cake. I do like your cake, Carol. You see what I'm getting? If you have been playing games, acting like you're a soldier in God's army, and you're not born again, watch out. You're going to get ate up, spit out, and you'll be laying dead alongside the road. Don't think that, well, I'm young. I'll play in the middle, Steve. You know what? Let's see. You can be Satan. And you can be God. I'm right here in the middle. Hey, how you doing, buddy? Yeah, hey, thank you for last night. You know, I really appreciate that thought you gave me. You know that? And hey, God. Hey, it's really awesome. You know, I'm just so glad for Jesus. You know, I'm just so back and forth.
Now you better come to this side.
You better come to this side. She's trying to save me even. Thank you very much. But sometimes we do that. And sometimes we think, well, you know, I don't know if there's really a God or not, so I'm going right down the middle. That way I got both sides covered. Now I'm telling you what, it don't work that way. You either for me, Jesus says, or you're against me. You either follow me, He says, or you're against me. He gave us the word. We cannot compromise His word. Amen? When He says, follow me, you follow Him. And when He says, don't do it, you don't do it. When He says, do it, you do it. Might not understand it all, but you do it anyway. And you seek revelation through that Holy Spirit that you have. It's a battle that we're fighting. And they are still got a hold of Joe. And Joe, but what's Joe done? These guys are mean, ugly soldiers. Look at them. Oh my gosh. And you see how nervous Joe is, don't you? Yeah, right. He's sleeping. He's not scared of it because you know what? He knows that these two people are not in charge of him. The Almighty is in charge of him. And he knows the Almighty will release him back into the battle again. He'll call him home. But something else in Joe's head right now. As he laid there a few months ago in the hospital bed, when Joe was going to die, he saw your faces. He said, I've seen the faces of the saints. You guys interceded and you prayed for him. He wasn't worried. What's the worst thing, Joe? You wake up in the presence of Jesus Christ. But he said, you know, God's not done with me yet. And you guys interceded, boom, come back. And just a couple weeks ago, we testified how he laid hands on his granddaughter. Yeah. Awesome. Another generation touched by the Lord because of what you did through intercession for this man here. Amen? Amen. So there is. So Joe ain't worried. He's just standing there. Even though I know a couple times Daryl kept reaching, trying to get his wallet out of the back of the pocket. Trying to torment Joe, okay? Joe just starts thinking, oh, no, wait. Oh, God, I got too much money in my pocket. Don't take me home yet. I want to spend my money. He's not thinking that. He's not thinking about any worldly things. He's thinking about what he's been called to do. Remember, Joe, he's Peter right now. This is Peter who walked upon the water. This is Peter who denied Jesus and repented from it.
Yes.
This is Peter. Christ said, I'll give. It wasn't just to Peter, but he gave to the church the keys to heaven and hell. Based upon the knowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yes. Two soldiers bound with two chains and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared. Stand up, Jason, you're the angel. Suddenly appeared. And a light shone in the cell. And he struck Peter's side and roused him, saying, get up quickly. And the chains fell off. I mean, the angel of the Lord shows up.
Hallelujah.
The prayers of the saints brought the angel into the cell.
Yes.
Joe's still sleeping. Joe's still sleeping. I'm surprised you don't say, oh, not yet, man. Give me 10 more weeks, will you? But he had to go over and actually touch him. Say, hey, Joe, wake up, wake up. And what the Bible says?
Chains fell off.
And the angel suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and roused him, saying, get up quickly! And his chains fell off his hands, set free. Why? Because the church was interceding, praying constantly, not giving up. And the angel said to Peter, gird yourself and put on your sandals. And he did so, and he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went out and continued to follow, and he did not know. Wow, wait a second. And he went out, went right to the bar,
no.
Had a few drinks,
no.
Grabbed a woman of the night. No. No. I'm going to stop right there a second. I want you to think. Think. How many times has God brought you up? How many times has He set you free? And the first thing you did, you went right back to what you did. Been there, haven't you guys? Been there, I'm telling you what. Been there. Like I said, I've got the t-shirt, I got the hat, I got the coat on layaway. During this, at midnight, when this thing's falling on top of you, we'll make every promise to God, man, I'll never do this again. I won't even do this, you know. I'll take my Farrah Fawcett drinking cup and throw it away, God. That's maybe before you guys. All this stuff. But man, just a minute. The minute that report is cleared up. Wow, I can remember laying in a hospital bed. Hearing the doctor say, I thought I heard him say to my wife, we just barely brought him back. And this is 20 years ago. We thought we were going to lose him. Breathing. My God. I've been smoking 20 years. I laid them cigarettes down. I laid them down, but the following week I went to see my doctor and he stepped out of the room. I got the report out. My lungs are perfect. I started smoking again. Yeah, I probably smoked another 15 years on top of it because, man, the scare was gone. The scare was gone. I know people who smoked till they're 110 years old and never got sick. Amen? We all know them. And so we'll convince ourselves, well, it won't bother me any. Amen? Same way with sin in our life. Man, we'll give it, we'll get with God and He'll come in our life and He'll raise us up, dust us off, put us back out there. And before we know, if we don't surround ourselves with brothers and sisters, man, we're going this way. Done that, been there. That's where the fellowship is. Some people say, well, man, I don't have to come to church. You need to come to church. You got to be encouraged. I need to hear your guys' testimony on Sundays. God, encourage me, Lord. And He does. Sometimes I need prayer. You need prayer. Coming in fellowship is so, so important. Look at these guys here. We have the angels there. He touches Joe, and what happens? Boom, the chains let go. Okay, you two can sit down now, okay? He's set free. And then the angel said to Joe, put on your sandals. So, man, I ain't going to set you free and let you die a free man. Come on, man. God ain't done with you. So he wraps his cloak around them and said, follow me. And he went out, continued to follow, and he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Wasn't sure if it was from God or not, but he thought, you know, it's better than what I got. Amen? And when they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that led into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. So, guard on this side, guard on this side. And the church was praying. Stage 4 broke away. And the church continued to pray. Stage 3 cancer broke away. And they said, come on, we ain't done yet, man. We ain't done yet. Come on! And as he goes through here, come on! He goes past stage 2. Stage 1, now he's set free completely. But because the church wasn't, they weren't done saying, well, hey, the chains came off, but he's still in prison. They said, we ain't going to stop. He's back with us. And they continued to pray, and they did. Look how God delivered him. Deliver out of that captive. And I tell you what, he was physically captive, but I'm telling you, God is not a respecter of person. What he's done for one, he'll do for the other. I don't know what has got you bound today. What's holding you today? What's holding your loved ones today? What's coming against the church, the government, whatever it is? We have the power to pray through it. To set them free. We're not done yet. Oh, it looks bleak. We know the return of Christ is coming. But he said, we have to be busy. The harvest is great, God says. But boy, I need a little more few workers. And he's got some good workers right here, guys. All he's doing is he's just taking us to a meeting today. And he's strengthening us. So, okay, guys. Let me show you a little more what you got to do. Let me show you where the power of the church is. And I'll tell you what. When Peter was set free, passed the guard, and he went out. And when they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. They went out and went along one street. And immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter came to himself, he said, now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. He says, I know. I know. Now, how did the angel get there? How did he get released to the church praying? Time and time and time again, we see how the spiritual battle with Daniel, how it took 21 days for the angel of the Lord to get to him with the answer. Time and time again, we see where the old time religion, the old timers. You know, back then, they didn't have to worry about shutting off the TV set. They had to worry about who's on the radio tonight. Is the Indians playing tonight? I don't know if they are or not, but they had more and more time to devote to the Word of God and in prayer. And I think we need to go back there. And don't hear me wrong, I'm not saying quit watching Cleveland, at least not yet. Wait till the middle of the season, okay? But I'm saying just make sure you balance your time out, okay? And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together, and they were what? They were praying for his release to be set free. And when he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. And they said to her, "You're out of your mind! My land sakes, you're out of your mind! Just because we've been praying for 2 days for him to be released, now you say you got released, get out of here! You're out of your mind! Oh, what? Cancer's gone? Oh, they made a mistake! The doctor must have read their x-ray wrong! He didn't have a blood clot! Them doctors! Right away, we don't want to confess what God has done.
Right.
So quickly, Satan comes. He steals what God's done. That seed. Boom. That seed. Boom. Oh. Well, Starkey, it was just advanced technology that got you out of Cleveland Clinic. No, it wasn't! It was the power of prayer from this church here that my wife laying hands on me at 3 o'clock in the morning. To God be the glory, I'll let no one still God's glory. And I tell you, within 2 months, through Him, He paid my bill. He told me to save $100 here. 3 days later, I got a thing in the mail, Cleveland Clinic. $100,000 I owed paid in full. God be the glory. God be the glory. Let everything that we testify to uplift one another. Let it encourage one another. It ain't over till it's over. Or until the church gives up. Peter's out front. Peter, you're nuts. You're out of your mind. Oh, my. Oh. They said to her, "You're out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, "It is His angel." But Peter continued, "Let me in! Come on, I've been in prison. I'm set free. Feed me!" Any no big cookies in there? Any no big cookies? He's knocking on the door. He's got to be thrilled. He has got a testimony to tell the church, don't he? So let me tell you how Jesus set me free. Oh, now could he deny that? Well, now I think what happened. I'll tell you what happened. Oh, no. Peter was a fisherman. Kathy, he was a fisherman. And fishermen's got a lot of money. Now, don't tell anybody this. You know, I don't want to really brag, but you know, his cousin went to the guardhouse and slipped a couple $100 to them guards, and they set him free. But don't tell nobody, because they find out they'll kill the guards. And who knows? Might be you and me in there next time. He paid him off. He paid him off. Would not be how Satan would work. Would not be the same. What did Peter do? Did he take off? Did he get on a boat and go anywhere else? No. Did he get on a boat and maybe go minister somewhere else? What did he do? He went back to his body of Christ that he was attached to, knocking on the door. But motion then was, but Peter continued knocking. When they had opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hands to be silent, described to them how the Lord had led him out of the prison. And he said, "Report these things to James and the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Now when day came, there were no small disturbance among the soldiers as to what could have come of Peter. And when Herod had searched for him and had not found him, didn't give up, did he? Still wanted to kill him, didn't he? He's still after Peter, whatever had him captured. He didn't give up easy. He's still looking for him. He examined the guards in order that they be led away to execution. And he went down from Judah to Caesarea and was spending time there. A house divided cannot stand. And what happened? Evil destroyed evil. The evil one accused the evil one of not being evil enough to allow Peter to escape. And it destroyed the guards. But Peter went right back. He had a calling on his life. And Peter said, "Oh man, listen. I've done enough. I have done enough." Oh, Joe, you can come back here, brother. I'm sorry.
Okay.
He's so polite standing back here. Peter could say, "Yeah, I've done enough, man. I was out there preaching. My partner got killed. Then they murdered James. They want me. This old man is nuts now because, man, I got released." He could have transferred somewhere else. I gave up. I've done my time. Be right back in the body of Christ to encourage the body of Christ. Look what your prayers have done. See, Peter wasn't going to leave until he completed what God had in store for him. But I ask you this. Who's in control? We are. if the church was not praying, Peter had been executed. What God wanted to do through Peter would not be accomplished. But it's not God's fault. Our fault. We're in control. We even called a battle. A war is going on. And it ain't going to stop until we hear that trumpet. Till we hear him say, come up here. It ain't going to be over with, guys. This is a real battle. And I'm telling you, like I said the other day, I believe as you pray against cancer, he'll try to bring cancer on you. If you pray against addictions, they'll try to bring you into addiction. You pray against binding spirits, pornography spirits, lying spirits, cheating spirits, all that stuff. I showed it up here, remember? When I got between these two guys fighting, they didn't grab a pillow and hit me in the head with it, did they? They used the same weapons that they had against Kevin on me. And I'll try to do the same with you. But again, I tell you, greater he that's in you today than he's in the world. Wake him up inside. Wake him like never had before. I'll tell you what, we have victory. We have the victory. We just need to execute our weapons, which is the Word of God. And folks, I love to break bread with you this morning, have communion as saints, followers of Jesus Christ. And please be encouraged that we take the communion today. Remember that Christ has already took your death. He already died for you. You're already dead. It's Him living through you now. You have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Just everything to accomplish. And we take communion today, remember that He lives in you. That He died for you. Let that encourage you that no matter what comes tomorrow, hey, you can't hurt me. I'm already dead. Amen? Amen. Father, we do. We do thank you, God, for the encouragement that Peter gave us and the church that came before us, Father. And I'm so encouraged with the church you're raising up today, God, for each one of my brother and my sister. They're not giving up. Oh, no, they're not. Battle worn, yes. Dragging our legs once in a while, maybe our butt sitting in the trail. But God, we're not giving up. If I already have one finger left to raise to you, God, and one lip to quiver out, amen, I will praise you until the day you come to receive us, Father. But Father, we take communion today, God. We just thank you for your Son. And Jesus, we thank you that you loved us enough that you came to redeem us through your blood and through your body. And help us through the Holy Spirit to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.